Desert. I'm Danielle Alvari here with your host, Matt Humans. We also have Aaron Rinning here today and Scott Kellen. So this is your starting five. NFL Week 2 kicked off last night as the Browns beat the Bengals but did not cover the spread. Same Browns, different week, right? Here's hoping for better betting luck on Sunday this weekend. We have a lot of road favorites in the action this week. In fact, our own Ben Fox just said on Betting Across America that a bookmaker told him it's going to be teaser heaven. Matt, can you elaborate on what he might be referring to here?
Yeah, first of all, I'd say don't believe everything Ben Fox tells you, Daniel.
Well, first of all, yes.
That's okay. But second is, I don't like teasers that much, but I played one this week already in the NFL. I teased the Browns last night with the Steelers. And, you know, a lot of times when you have 7-8 point road favorites or just 7 or 8 point favorites in general, a lot of people like to tease those down to -1 or pick them. And those are popular ways for the public to play a lot of these favorites if you don't want to lay the points. So I think a lot of games set up for teasers. I really don't recommend playing a lot of teasers, but I think, you know, there are bettors out there who like them.
And sure. You're sitting better than I am with a Browns -5.5 ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it certainly seems to help the books out at least. Ravens-Texans, let's start there. Two of the best young passers in the league there facing off, Lamar Jackson and, of course, Deshaun Watson from the Texans. The Ravens are the 7-point road favorite, and they're perfect 5-0 against the spread in their last five road games. Moneyline sitting at Texans +270, Ravens at -334. That's according to BetMGM. How do you see this game playing out? Do you want to start with Aaron here?
You know, let's start with Aaron, yeah, because I'm not crazy about laying the points with the road favorite here, but the Texans are on my short list of teams I hate right now.
They are probably almost at the top of my list for teams that I don't like. Matt. And, you know, it's funny because you'll talk about Jackson and Deshaun Watson in this game. To me, it's more about 5 through 53, and if you handicap this game, with the rosters 5 through 53, that'll easily put you on Baltimore with their roster, what they're able to do. So, and you mentioned it, Danielle. We'll see how the home underdogs will do this week without any fans in the stadium for the most part. So, but I'll be on Baltimore on Sunday.
Over under on this game is at 50 points. That's South Point. Some have 49.5. Scott, do you see this as a high scoring game, or is this going to be a more one-sided affair?
Well, I've got a pretty good situation that's been very good over the years on the under on this. Now, your only question here, you know, Baltimore could roll up 41 points in a heartbeat, right? But looking back, when they've been on the road with Jackson, they've allowed 17 or less points, or more than 17 points, only 3 of those 11 games that they've been on the road with Lamar. So they have a pretty good chance here, probably shut Houston down a little bit. The real question is, how many points is Baltimore going to get, really?
Absolutely. Last season, the highest scoring offense. I think they averaged 33 points per game, so we'll see how that plays out. 49ers-Jets, let's go. 49ers traveled to face the Jets after their loss against their division rival, the Cardinals. 49ers are also the 7-point road favorite. A lot of injuries here between the 49ers and the Jets. With both these teams banged up, how do you expect this one to look, Matt?
Well, I felt like a fool last week when I played the Jets, and I'm going to feel like a fool twice here because I like the Jets again this week getting the points. I'm probably not going to bet it, but I do like the Jets side here. I think the 49ers laying too many points considering all the injuries they have on the offensive side right now at receiver. And with George Kittle banged up, I think
And they just announced Kittle will be out.
Yeah.
Right.
So Kittle out and the receiving core banged up. I think you got to look at the dog +7, but if I make that bet and it loses, I would hate myself.
What about you, Aaron?
I'm pretty anti-Jets. I tried to save Matt last week. I told him in training camp the Jets got outscored by their second team 27-0, but it was almost as bad. I guess maybe the second team is better than the Bills, Matt.
Last week, Jets quarterback Sam Darnold took 3 sacks and threw an interception against Buffalo. Do you expect Sam Darnold to fare better against the 49ers, Scott?
Well, first of all, Matt, last year was the Giants. This year it's the Jets, right? So the New York theme.
Well, right? I had the Giants last year.
It's going to be tough. No Jamison Crowder, right? So,
right.
The Jets team is a mess. It's too bad they're a mess because San Francisco's also missing Richard Sherman. Witherspoon may not play. So they're hurting in the secondary. I just don't know if the Jets can take advantage of it. And at the line of scrimmage, both offensive, defensive line, that is a whole complete win for San Francisco.
Right, so we'll see how it plays out. David Purnham of ESPN did say this was one of the least bet games, the Jets, at just 8% for William Hill Sportsbook. So we'll have more to talk about the rest of the show. We have more My Guys coming your way. We'll be right back. Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari here with your hosts, Matt Eumanns. We also have Aaron Ridding here and Scott Kellen. Great show for you today. In the second hour, we'll also have Wes Reynolds, who you may recognize from VSiN's The Green Zone and also Long Shots. But first things first, Matt, I'm dying to know what you thought of this Browns-Bengals game.
Well, I thought that if you bet the Browns, you got screwed. And that's what happened at the end last night. You get backdoored with the Browns playing 5.5 or 6. And I thought they should have won this game by a bigger margin. 35-30 was the final. Joe Burrow put the ball in the air 61 times. His 37 completions were the most by a rookie in NFL history. The Bengals trailing the whole time, putting the ball in the air last night. Joe Mixon rushed 16 times for 46 yards. I really thought the Browns should have won this game by double digits. And Aaron Renning, I think you must have looked at it that way. You bet the Browns last night.
Yeah, I was confident, Matt. I had a text message on Sunday that from our buddy, who's a big Sooner fan, that Baker Mayfield was washed up. So I thought that was probably a good sign that Baker was going to bounce back. And, you know, when I watched Cleveland against the Ravens on Sunday, I thought Baker was actually pretty decent. Yeah. I mean, things didn't go his way. You have to remember, pretty much any team in the NFL was going to walk into a buzzsaw in Baltimore on Sunday. That is the best coach team, one of the best organizations. They're firing on all cylinders. So I thought it was a good chance. The look-ahead line was Cleveland by 8. I think I laid 5.5 in that game. Comes up short. Fortunately, I also had a big bet on the over, Matt. So that was never in doubt. And again, I thought Baker looked extremely well, was putting the passes where he needed into that. I mean, just a huge drop off, obviously, from that Ravens defense to the Cincinnati Bengal defense.
Total was 44 in that range. Scott, it flies over last night. I expected the Browns to win last night. I wasn't real confident they would cover, but I played them on a teaser with the Steelers this week. And like Aaron, I expected it to be a high scoring game. Anything that caught you by surprise last night?
Not really by surprise, confirming. I mean, I think Burrow looks pretty good, right? We'll see. It's two games in. You know, Derek Carr looked good at 1.2. So, you know, time will tell on that. But from the Browns, first of all, I think you owe Freddie Kitchens an apology because this is the same team that we've seen in recent years, right? They beat up on the bad teams, and they lose to the good teams. And that it's nothing more than that for me. They have all the makeup. Cincinnati obviously can't stop the rush. You knew they were going to rush the ball down their throat and be able to throw the ball. They got backdoored in the game, obviously. But the Browns are who they are. I've decided that now. They're going to beat the bad teams. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose to the good teams. Cincinnati, you know, Burrow looks like he's okay so far.
All right, Scott, I'm not going to apologize to Freddie Kitchens, all right? That's not going to happen. Larry, the cable guy, didn't deserve to be an NFL head coach. And you got to give Kevin Stefanski a chance. That said, Stefanski has not impressed me so far with some of the decisions he made. Yeah. How about last night? You call a timeout. Fourth down at the 1 yard line, you call a timeout to run the ball up the middle and get stuffed. I thought it was funny. Troy Aikman says, "Let's see what Stefanski's got up his sleeve here. How about a run up the middle? Do you have something more creative that you can do when you're on the goal line like that?" Yeah, I think it might not be a major coaching upgrade, but I have to give the guy a chance.
This is, by the way, why I'm saying nothing's changed. Remember, they did this last year against Seattle and I think another game right down at the goal line. Same scenarios, right?
Adam Schefter of ESPN had this tweet. It's from Joe Burrow. The quote, "Just losing. Losing isn't very fun. This may be the first time in my sporting career I've lost two games in a row. Losing is unacceptable." Lucky guy. I played on a junior high basketball team and lost 12 games in a row. You know, he went from 15-0 to 0-2. But I'll say this. You know, one of you guys mentioned it. I think Joe Burrow looks legit right now. Some of the throws he made last night were big-time throws, and I think he's got great pocket presence and calm about him and charisma that looks to me like he's going to be the real deal. I mean, it's obviously early to jump to conclusions, but I like a lot of what I've seen from Joe Burrow so far.
I think when you grade on a curve, for sure, you know, when you consider first start, second start in the NFL, when you also consider the pandemic, no mini camps, et cetera, for him, not much of an offensive line to work with as well in Cincinnati. So I thought he looked, quite honestly, I thought he improved quite a bit from Sunday to Thursday, and not that much time to improve. And he's faced, I would say, two perhaps above average defense. Cleveland, you can probably argue that with their beat-up secondary. Man down in the front for that defense as well. But so far, decent, and get used to it. Drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, that's last night's kickoff to week two. Browns 35, Bengals 30. And you had a backdoor special with the underdog scoring late to cover the number last night. So let's move ahead. It's Football Friday here on My Guys in the Desert with Scott Kellen, Aaron Renning, and Matt Eumanns. And Scott, where can people find you on Twitter if they want to? You do some of the most in-depth write-ups I've seen on the NFL each week, and you do them on every game. I think you'll have those done by tonight, right?
Yep, yep. They're actually pretty much done right now. At Sixth Sense NFL or SixthSenseSports.com.
All right, ER, you call yourself the number one handicapper in the world. Where can people find you?
On Twitter, at ERSports1, and you won't be finding in-depth NFL articles from me.
Okay. Well, let's start with Rams and Eagles. Early in the week, the Westgate put this number up at Rams minus 1.5. And right now I look at the Westgate, and it's Philly minus 1.5, total of 45.5. I'm on the Philly side in this game. I want to see what Scott Kellen thinks first. Is this line move justified to flip a favorites from Rams to Philadelphia?
I think so, Matt. I took Philly at a pick 'em. You know, last week's game, there was a few games last week where the score did not really tell the whole story, I don't think, and this is one of them. You know, they jumped out to a 17-0 lead, lost the game. They only gave up 3.4 yards of play. Now, they only averaged 4 yards of play themselves, but they were sacked 8 times. Lane Johnson comes back this week at right tackle, so that will help. Every score Washington had last week started in Philadelphia territory, so it wasn't like Washington really earned it. And, you know, you look at Jared Goff. First of all, the Rams, they have not been as good a team under McVay on the road as they are at home. Mm-hmm. Goff, just looking back, his average yards per pass, he's at about 88% of what he averages at home on the road. Last week, 4.3 air yards per attempt, meaning he's only throwing the ball about 4 yards before someone catches it, so they're not really going downfield. He faced a really bad defense, in my opinion, last week in Dallas. He's not going to see that same thing here. There are a couple question marks on Philadelphia's defense, but assuming those guys play, I think the under actually has a decent chance here. I may play that. But I'm on Philadelphia for sure.
No, interesting. I did not bet the side in this game. I certainly leaned to Philadelphia. I tried to make a case for the Eagles. Perhaps I still get there. Sounds good when you guys are both on them. I have the Eagles rated really low on my rankings. Offensively, I just didn't have them. And you saw that a little bit last week. Now, the Redskins front, as we mentioned last Friday, was going to be greatly improved. Still, Philadelphia is going to have to contend with Donald in this matchup. So, I did not bet the side in this game yet.
I think Philly's got a lot of offensive talent at full strength, mm-hmm. and they get Lane Johnson back Huge. This week, right tackle, and Miles Sanders, and the running back yep. is going to return. And maybe this week Carson Wentz won't start throwing picks with a 17-0 lead if they get up that far. You know, Scott, I did think last week that Sean McVay, one reason I liked the Rams, and I didn't have many winners last week, but it was on the Rams, and I thought Sean McVay had won and covered his 3 previous season openers. You give that guy time to prepare, he's going to put together a script, a great game plan, and that's exactly what he did. I thought he controlled the entire first half of that game with his game plan that he had prepared for the Cowboys.
Well, and I think, you know, their system is pretty good. So if they're facing a team like Dallas, whose defense is, you know, especially that back 7 for Dallas is not very good right now. They've lost people, injuries and free agency and whatnot. Front 7 could be pretty good. But so if he can get his offense against a team where he can kind of do what he wants to do offensively, I think their system is pretty good. And he has a chance to, and like you said, he can prepare obviously very well. And then, again, if he's facing someone where he can do what he wants, he's got a good system. Goff's, he's a manageable quarterback, right? And they've mm-hmm. got talent there. You know, it'll be a little different, I think, this week against the defense, but you're right.
Well, he was able to mask Jared Goff's flaws, I think, yes. with the game plan he put together last week. And if you look at Jared Goff's splits, he's a much different quarterback at home.
I mean,
not very good on the road.
Right. That's kind of the new wave in yeah. the NFL is you have these strong offensive coordinators. You take a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback in the first 5 years of his contract. You try to make it easy for him. I mean, I think that is kind of the future right now to save at the quarterback position and then to be able to kind of coach him up.
All right, let's move to game number 2. Scott, you said you did have a play on the Eagles, right?
Yes.
At Pick'em?
Yep.
I think
I would play it up to minus 1.
Okay. Carolina, Tampa Bay. Tom Brady's receiving core banged up this week. This is from Pro Football Talk. Chris Godwin remains out of practice. Mike Evans limited. Evans played, I think, 65 of 70 snaps last week against the Saints. So he only had 2 catches, really didn't make an impact on the game. So Mike Evans with that hamstring looks like he was going to play. He's going to try to play this week, but Godwin took a hit to the head. Not sure he's going to be out there. So Brady has got a limited receiver core to work with, and Gronk didn't do much last week. Ran around and looked old and tired out there. That's about it. Tampa Bay, 8.5-point favorite. 9 at a couple spots, total of 47.5, Scott.
I didn't play the game, Matt, and Godwin sounds like he's doubtful now. So,
oh, really? I heard he practiced today, but it didn't.
He did practice, okay. But not – he was only cleared for not contact, I don't think, so.
I was surprised that he was – I just saw that he practiced, and I was surprised because I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and it was non-contact, so it really was almost nothing. So, and I think I saw he's listed as doubtful. So, okay. You know, Tampa Bay last week, Matt, they outgained New Orleans 4.8 yards to 4.1 yards of play. Their defense was outstanding, I thought, to a degree last week. You know, you got – if you take away the turnovers, the interceptions, there was a fumble there late in the game, the penalties, which has always plagued Tampa Bay, the special teams, the blocked field goal. I mean, they were awful, and that's all part of football and your team, and, you know, Tampa Bay's had those problems. But they played pretty well other than that. Now they're going to face a Carolina defense that last year allowed 24 or more points in each of their last 5 road games, 34 more in 4 of those 5. They've got rid of a lot of those players, but they're just a bunch of young guys in there. So the defense, in my mind, is relatively the same as last year. So I think Tampa Bay should be able to score in this game. They are 1-7-1 against the spread. It's a favorite, their last 9. Yep. There are going to be high winds last time I looked in this game. So under might be a look at it, looking at the under there. I think it's a mismatch for Carolina. It's just a matter, can Tampa Bay win going away, you know, with a large spread?
You think it's a mismatch in favor of Tampa Bay?
Yes, yes.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people will look at last week and see, you know, the Bucs put up 23 points. Carolina put up 30 in that wild 34-30 loss to the Raiders and look over the total here. But, ER, what impact might Tom Brady's limited receiver core have on this game, Panthers at Bucs?
I mean, Godwin certainly is a factor, yeah. And you have Evans at not quite 100%, perhaps a little bit of a decoy or maybe take away the deep ball from him. I looked at this game over the total, but certainly late news with the wins. I was kind of waiting to see what Godwin is, makes it more just a lean for me. And that was more expecting Tampa to be able to score in this situation. I think Carolina will be one of the worst defensive teams in the NFL. You have to remember last week against the Raiders, who really went up and down the field for the most part. And you also have to remember the Raiders played with their third-string tackle throughout that game. Ruggs was essentially a decoy after he hurt his knee early in that contest. And Carolina still had no answers for what they wanted to do. It's a Panthers team that can't stop the run, is really going to struggle with that young secondary as well. Also good for the over as far as some of the late-breaking news. I saw Kawan Short was not going to play for the Panthers, probably maybe their best defensive player.
Right.
He's going to be out for this game. So as we talk about it, maybe it makes a little bit of sense here for Tampa Bay as well to bet them somehow, some way, shape, or form. But I just, yeah, I'm not a big fan of this Carolina defense. If Tom Brady and this offense can't wake up, and I agree, I think, you know, last week New Orleans defense to me is one of the best defensive teams in the NFL. If he doesn't wake up and play well this week, then I would start to ask some questions.
Yeah, but if he doesn't play this week, I would also say, you know, he doesn't have Chris Godwin. Mike Evans is not full speed, and Gronk looks like he's not ready to play yet.
Yep.
So he's got some built-in excuses, too. But I think it could take even some more time. A lot of people think, well, Brady's going to bounce back in a week and look a lot better. It might take more than a week for the Buccaneers to get up to speed offensively.
Yeah, and, you know, the real question from a total perspective, if Tampa Bay does get way up, will they just run the ball and just, you know, get out of there?
How about Leonard Fournette? 5 yards on 5 carries last week.
Well, let's see if he can get 6 yards this week.
I mean, and maybe the troubling aspect is he actually looked like the most explosive running back they had.
You know, or will they keep throwing Brady just because he needs reps in practice? That's, yeah, you don't know.
Danielle Alvari was talking about the teasers this week in the NFL. I think a lot of people are going to look to play the Bucs on a teaser just to win that game straight up because yep. You can knock that from 8.5 down to 2.5.
Yes.
Across some key numbers.
Yes.
Aaron, Eddie Walls was supposed to join us today. I said yesterday on the show, possibly the sharpest college football handicapper. A lot of people don't know, but he's not going to be able to make it on the show today. Did he give you any leans as far as college football sides or totals this week?
Actually, I do. If we can come back from the break, yeah. I could probably mention some stuff that him and I somewhat agreed on, man.
All right, that's a tease. We'll get to that. We'll have some college football plays from Eddie Walls. In the second hour, Wes Reynolds joins us. We're going to update the U.S. Open. Is Tiger Woods going to miss the cut? I sure hope so. At plus 155, and he's on the wrong side of the cut line right now. Let's go to Danielle for a last word here before the break.
You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a no-brainer odds boost of 100-1 on any pro football team to win in week two. It's easy. Just sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code VSIN, bet $1 on any team to win in week two, and if they do, you walk away with $100. Don't forget to use the code VSIN when you sign up. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app for offer details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. Matt.
All right, Scott Kellen and Aaron Renning join me here. It's a Football Friday on My Guys in the Desert. We're going to break down every game on the NFL card. We're going to have some top plays for you this week in college football. And we'll get to top plays in the second hour. We're also going to update the U.S. Open with Wes Reynolds. And it's been a tougher day. You expected carnage at Wingfoot. You finally got it today. Very few players under par right now. It looks like Tiger Woods is going to be on the wrong side of the cut line as he heads down the stretch this afternoon in New York. All right, we got the Broncos, Steelers, and Falcons, Cowboys on deck. So stay with us. We'll be back here in a couple minutes.
Qualifiers and the Triple Crown are the focus of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. Jason Portwando of Woodbine TV previews the three qualifiers Saturday and Sunday in Canada. Breeder Peter Blum discusses what led to the foaling of Kentucky Derby winner Authentic, and Johnny Avello of DraftKings Sportsbook handicaps weekend races. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available at Apple, Google, iHeart, Spotify, Stitcher, and of course, vsin.com/podcast. It is sponsored by First Bet. Matt?
All right, thanks, Danielle and Aaron Renning. Let's get to college football. We have one of the top games tomorrow postponed, Baylor-Houston. And Bears are going to host this game in Waco. Each team hooked up basically because other opponents had already bailed due to this COVID-19 pandemic. And it looks like right now there's an issue on the Baylor side, and that game's being postponed tomorrow. I actually had a ticket on Houston plus six. You had a better number than that. I think Circa might open this as high as 10. What'd you get on this game?
Yeah, I bet some Circa plus 8.5. I bet a lot more, plus 7.5, Matt. I had this game circled. I think Houston's going to be one of the most improved teams in college football. So it's disappointing because you got a great bet. And, you know, the value kind of comes out of it because you see the line move that happens with that. And it's not going to be played or postponed, as you mentioned. And get used to it. It's... You know, handicapping some of this college football, what happened last week with some late breaking news, it's a tricky thing to bet.
No question. I'm not going to complain about it.
Right.
I've had about four games postponed that I have bets on so far, but I'm just glad college football is back.
Well,
we have opportunities out there.
Right, and you figure, you know, if you do your homework, you should be a little bit ahead of the game. Also with that, if it go, you know, if injury or if the COVID injuries go against you, a lot of times they'll go with you as well, but I think it's, you know, and I understand there's legalities or whatever, but the trouble is they can't say, they can't tell you who's going to be out till like an hour before game. You see the beat writers maybe posting things on Twitter. And then how long are they out? Are they out for two games, three games? It's a little bit bizarre.
Yeah, last week, Arkansas State, supposedly the rumor going around, Arkansas State was going to be without at least 10 players at Kansas State. Turned out to be 15 players didn't make the trip.
Mm-hmm.
The line went from 9.5 to 15 in favor of Kansas State, and Arkansas State won the game outright.
I mean, well, you know, the only loser I had last week from a side perspective was Texas. You know, I was anti, or I bet Texas State, their quarterback scratches. There was rumors about it the day before. I don't know if I would have bet the side in that game if I knew. I thought he looked good. I thought he was a difference maker at the quarterback position. And, again, I haven't been up on it as much this week. And then, you know, if you don't play 1 week, you're supposed to be out perhaps 14 days, which would put him out. But he was practicing all week. So,
all right.
Quarterback for Texas.
Right. Big Ten, Pac-12, looks like scheduled to come back October 23rd, 24th weekend. The Pac-12 not official yet, but that's a talk. We'll get a couple of college football plays that Aaron has from Eddie Walls in the next segment. Scott Kellen, let's go to Broncos and Steelers. Talk about a banged-up team. That's the Denver Broncos right now. Mostly this line is Steelers minus 7. Both of these teams played on Monday night.
Yeah, and for Pittsburgh, looks like DeCastro's out. I think Wisniewski's out, and I think Zach Banner's out as well. So Pittsburgh's got their own set of issues on the offensive line. I think the real we know how good Pittsburgh's defense is. The real question is still, in my mind, how good is their offense? I will say, just looking back here over the last 5 years, when Roethlisberger has started, they've been a home favorite. They've scored 24 or more in almost every one of those games. Again, we're not quite sure how good their offense is this year, but if that's you know, any kind of sign, they'll probably get to 24, give or take. And their defense, like I said, is very good right now. And as a home favorite of 7 or more, they've allowed less than 18 or less points in 8 of 11 games. Two of those games they allowed more. It was fluky turnovers and stuff that really doesn't count. So their defense has been very good where they've been a big favorite. I don't expect Denver to score a ton of points. I don't know where Cortland Sutton will sit yet. Denver hurting a little bit as well in their secondary. I would lean Pittsburgh here. I think you mentioned earlier, Matt, maybe a teaser play is a good option too. Get it under 3, but lean to Pittsburgh. No real opinion on the total.
Well, I hope Cortland Sutton does sit because I have a bet on the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game. And, you know, one thing you can do now is they put the look-ahead line for next week's NFL. A number of shops. I know the Westgate does it. I'm not sure who else does it in Vegas, Matt, but more and more are starting to do that. So Pittsburgh was 6 last week, and I tried to gobble up as much Steelers minus 6 last week as I could.
Yeah, it's 7 right now. A couple books at 7.5. And the Broncos, really a beat-up team. And Drew Locke didn't look that great on Monday night. What did you think of Big Ben, ER, when you watched him? I know you had the Steelers over
the Giants. It was conservative a little bit. He probably needed a game. But, again, he kind of gets a little bit of a break. That Broncos defense banged up. Certainly no Von Miller for that defensive unit.
Pittsburgh defense is legit. Quick break. Back in a couple minutes here on My Guys in the Desert.
The Odds Trader Studio. This is My Guys in the Desert. Matt, Falcons at Cowboys. Who do you like?
Well, that's a trick question, Dan. You know, I like the Cowboys, but I'm not crazy about the Cowboys with their defense beat up. Leighton Vander Esch already sidelined. Sean Lee on the sideline. And Mike McCarthy making some of his same old mistakes last week against the Rams. So it's my optimism and enthusiasm about the Cowboys has been tempered a little bit after watching just one game. Try not to overreact, but Scott Kellen, let's get to it. Falcons at Cowboys. I really don't like the Falcons, but in this spot, can you make a case for them catching 4 or 4.5 at Dallas, total of 53.5?
Well, I think the only question, Dallas has a pretty good history of playing pretty well at home against what I would consider subpar teams. But as I said earlier, Matt, I don't think this Dallas defense is very good. And Atlanta should be able to move the ball on these guys. Now, you're getting 4 points, being able to move the ball. You know, unfortunately, Atlanta gives up their share of points as well. When Atlanta got going last year, their last 6 games as road dogs, they scored 24 or more in every one of those games. They went 4-2 against the spread. Unfortunately, they gave up 22 or more in 4 of those 6 games. And Dallas has scored a whole bunch of points at home ever since they got Amari Cooper as well. I think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game. I missed this total's move pretty significantly. I missed it, unfortunately. And Leighton Vander Esch out now. We know Sean Lee's out. They lost Bryce Jones in the offseason. Tyrone Smith, he's questionable, hasn't practiced the last couple days. That could impact them. I would lean Atlanta. Unfortunately, I think the total value has kind of gotten away, but I do think it'll be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, no, I agree with Scott here. I have a bet on the over. Very questionable if you can play that now. What is it, 60? It's gone up like crazy all week long. However, you know, you can always try to be a little bit creative. If you do like the over, you have options, maybe a team total, whether you like Atlanta or Dallas, you can play them over. I also bet some first half over. I got that at I can't remember exactly the number I got it at, but it was certainly, I felt like it was more playable than what the game total was at this point. So there's different ways you can try to bet it and still make money and be what we feel like is the right side in this game. And I'm with you, Matt. I mean, I wasn't sold on McCarthy coming into Dallas. Big chance opportunity last week. You saw a lot of money come in against the Cowboys twice. Last week it did. This week once again. So interesting how that scenario plays out.
Russell Wilson, 31 of 35 against the Falcons defense. And I think Wilson's going to do that to a lot of defenses, but the Falcons defense doesn't look any better than it did last season.
No, you're right. And you make a great point. I'm guessing this Atlanta team total will probably be 24, maybe give or take. If you can get a 24 or less, I think Atlanta over on the team total could be a decent play.
All right, 49ers and Jets. We talked about this game a little bit at the top of the show. Niners 7-point road favorite. Scott, George Kittle ruled out. Niners wide receivers banged up, but the Jets looked like a pile of junk in week one. Will they be any better in week two? Total 41.5.
Boy, yeah, you're right. Jets were awful last week. Buffalo, I think, punted once. Witherspoon looks like he's going to play at corner for San Francisco. No Jameson Crowder at wide receiver. I think that's a huge blow to the Jets as well. It's a lot of points, though. You know, again, I think San Francisco at the line of scrimmage is a much better team. I'm not sure, especially without Kittle, and the receiver corps is almost nothing. And they did nothing in offense last week, quite frankly. They had a 75-yard touchdown pass and a screen pass. You take that out, they average 4.9 yards a play. Jets kind of a similar story there, even worse. I would probably grab the points if I did anything, but I'm not touching this game. I actually wanted to go over on this game, but I'm not playing the total either.
Scott, traditionally home dogs have been money bets in the NFL. You can play the home underdog. Do you feel like, and you probably have some angles that relate to home underdogs, do you feel it's going to be different this year without the fans in the stands, at least for now, or are you just kind of playing it week by week basis?
I think week by week, you're right, though. I mean, that is something I'm interested in. And Sam Darnold, he's been pretty good as a home dog, although against the better teams, he was 0-2, and I don't have it written down here, but you know they lost pretty significantly against the better teams. Mm-hmm. But as a home dog against more average teams, they actually played pretty well. But I think the crowd did fire him up a little bit on that, so that part will be interesting to see. So to your point, ER, I'm kind of playing this, game by game to see what that means.
You know, it's tricky because, traditionally, Matt, you don't want to lay a touchdown on the road. Right. There's nothing to do with it in the NFL. I feel like this year can be a little bit different. I have a bet on San Francisco here, and I like them, and I want to play them. As we mentioned, I mean, the Jets are just continue to be a go-against team. I mean, they are poorly coached, poorly quarterbacked. When the media is going against Sam Darnold, you know there's problems, Matt. Kittle injury and the fact that, you got to lay a touchdown, win by a touchdown.
You got a lot of road favorites around that 7-point mark this week in the NFL, but you're not as, I guess, afraid to lay those points in a season like this when there are no fans.
I feel that way.
Yeah. All right, I know it's disappointing for you. If you go to Aaron Renning's house out in Summerlin, he's got a big poster of Sam Darnold on his bedroom wall. Are you going to take that down if the Jets lose this week?
I've made so much money betting against them. I hope it continues, man.
Bills and Dolphins.
Should put a statue. It's going to be a statue the next time you come.
Bills and Dolphins. Are the Dolphins dangerous home dogs here, Scott Kellen? Bills, 5.5-point favorites. We saw 6 on the board early this week. 41, key number to the total.
Yeah, I think Devontae Parker may be out in this game, which would be significant. Yep. I think Buffalo may be down a couple of linebackers as well. You know, when Fitzpatrick came back and started after their break last year, he was 4-1 against the spread as a home dog. The one loss was to these Bills. They lost by 17 points. In each of those games that he started, though, as a home dog, at least the last 4, they scored 20 or more in each game. So they were actually able to be pretty productive. I don't really have an opinion on this game on the side or the total, Matt. I guess I would lean Miami, but again, it's one of those games where at the line of scrimmage, I think Buffalo has the advantage, but I don't really have any interest in laying the points with Buffalo.
I did lay some points. Call me square, if you will, this week, but until I see differently on some of these teams without home field advantage for the most part, I'm going to go ahead and step up and lay some points. with some road teams, and I did that here with Buffalo. I mean, to me, Miami still just lacks a lot of talent. And, you know, two rookies starting on that offensive line, not really a good sign against what is perhaps the best defense in the NFL. And I think Miami is probably better than what they showed last week, but I still feel they have a long way to go. I do not have this team rated very highly, and I do with the Bills. We saw Allen play much better last week. See if he can duplicate that. Obviously not going against the Jets here, but I laid the points with the Bills.
All right, that's Scott Kellen and Aaron Renning. It's Football Friday on My Guys in the Desert. When we come back, Aaron's going to have a couple college football plays from Eddie Walls, who is not able to join us on today's show, but he's an exceptionally sharp college football handicapper. We're going to update the U.S. Open golf major with Wes Reynolds in the second hour. And the next game we get to on the NFL rotation in week two is Lions at Packers. And we're also going to look at Vikings-Colts on the other side. So we'll take a quick break and come back and continue the week two breakdowns. Don't forget, too, in the second hour, we have Musburger and Mad Dog going head-to-head for the second week in a row, and both guys put up winning records, I believe, in week one, and we will have that for you in about 25 minutes.
Season is here, and now is the time to get into Quick Picks, the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and the biggest payouts. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite sports. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play? No problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. VSiN users can sign up for Quick Picks now and get a 100% free deposit bonus up to $100, and you can use PayPal, our preferred payment method, so you know it's 100% secure and legal. Legal for residents in 28 states, must be 21 or older. Go to quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus to find out more. Matt.
Looking at some of the Cowboys injuries this week, Lael Collins, offensive lineman, Leighton Vander Esch, Blake Jarwin, the tight end. Cowboys really a banged up team. So are the Broncos. Going into week two.
And remember that with the Cowboys last year, I had it in my notes. I believe they're one of the most healthiest offensive teams in the NFL.
And just remember, Smith was out, 2 years ago when they went to Atlanta? And remember, I forget who replaced
Tyron
them.
Smith?
Yeah.
Whoever replaced him gave up about 5 sacks in that game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Vikings and Colts, two teams that just looked terrible in week one. The Colts couldn't even force Gardner Minshew to throw an incompletion, more than one anyway. What was he, 19 of 20 in that game last week? And the Vikings defense was a disaster in a blowout loss to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Vikings at Colts. Right now at the Westgate, it's Colts -3, -120. It looked like there was some sharp play on the Vikings early in the week. Total of 48.5 or 49, Scott.
If I had any faith at all in Minnesota, I think it'd be a good spot to take them. But, Matt, I mean, they just confirmed everything I said last week, right? They have nobody on the defensive line other than Yannick, who they picked up, but everybody else is gone or hurt, so they can get no pressure. They got rid of their three best cornerbacks who admittedly were not that good, so they weren't going to pay them. I understand the situation. They've got nobody in the secondary. So I don't know how they're going to stop anybody. They certainly did not stop Aaron Rodgers. Now, they got a bunch of garbage stuff last week in the fourth quarter. They're down 29-10 going to the fourth quarter. They scored 3 touchdowns. Whether Green Bay is in a prevent defense or not, you know, who really knows? So, they moved the ball a little bit. Indy, though, Indy's defense is not good. I think we said that last week. But offensively, they played okay last week. They never punted in the game. Every drive they had ended in Jacksonville territory, except for the 2 interceptions that Rivers thrown, which, you know, he is very capable of doing.
Never seen that.
No, not against Minnesota like he did 3 times or 4 times last year in that game, right? So I think their offense is okay. I think they can move the ball. I think their defense, which is average, might be better than Minnesota's defense, actually. And I think their offense, which is a very good offensive line, is probably better than Minnesota's offense. Cousins, 2-6-1 against the spread as a road dog with Minnesota. And I was surprised to see this defensively in those nine games. They have allowed 21 or more points in eight of those nine games, a team that's kind of noted they have a good defense. So I think Indy's better at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I would lean towards Indy in this game. Don't like to lay a bunch of points, but I know it's not a lot of points, but against Minnesota. But I lean Indy in this game. No opinion on the total.
I was interested to see what your take was, Scott. I did bet the Colts in this game. And we talked about it with the Vikings last week. And, you know, Zimmer is certainly a defensive head coach. He talked about coaching up the young guys on here. But it's a hard season to do that. You know, the names and the talent, they lost on the defensive side of the ball. And I thought, you know, the loss of Daniel Hunter was just kind of the crucial blow, if you will. And then, you know, again, we mentioned last week some of the stuff that just isn't sustainable in the NFL. The red zone defense for the Vikings was second best in the NFL. Drives that ended in turnovers, third in the NFL last year for the Vikings. So it's just compounded, and you kind of all came to fruition last week for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers to put up all those type of points. I would expect Indy. The Mac injury, I don't think is going to bother them that much. I thought Taylor looked explosive. I'm a little worried how he's going to perform in the red zone. So, boy, I hate to say it, Matt, but I got a lot of money here on Phillip Rivers to cover the point spread this week. And I tell you what, you have to kind of drop your power rating here on Frank Reich, and especially even more so this week. They disappointed last week, disappointed week one when you control the game. So we'll see what happens between these two.
Yeah, I agree. I lean Colts, and I've also dropped my power rating on Frank Reich a little bit. Still like the guy, but, boy, that was very discouraging performance last week by the Colts at Jacksonville. And what was up with the Colts defense? Just getting run over by the Jaguars and Gardner Minshew.
Well, I mean, my first comment would be, what do they have on defense? I mean, they're okay on defense right now. Again, to your point, probably it's Jacksonville. That's got to be a bigger concern. But, I think I said last week, I think their defense is probably average at best.
Colts have drafted pretty well in recent years. They drafted the defense, and they made some trades and free agent acquisitions to build that defense. There's no excuse to give up 19 completions and 20 attempts to Gardner Minshew.
I agree. They bragged about these drafts. So these guys have to step up. You bring in Buckner. He didn't make a difference in that game as well.
All right, let's go to Lions at Packers, and the Lions made me sick last week. They were up 17 in the fourth quarter.
How did Matt Patricia,
Adam Gase, some of these guys, Vic Fangio, some of these guys are not game management geniuses, that's for sure. The Packers, 6.5-point favorites. It's mostly 6.5, but Circa has 6. Total of 49.5. Scott, do the Lions bounce back, and are the Packers who we thought they were, or at least what they showed last week?
Well, I'm still not sure how good Green Bay is. I would have loved to play Detroit here, getting a whole bunch of points, but they have massive injuries in the secondary. No Kenny Galladay again. I know this total has shot up as well. It's just interesting looking back here. Rodgers at home as a favorite of less than 7. They're 20 wins, 6 losses against the spread in the last 26 games. And ironically, in the last 34 as a home favorite, Rodgers, they're 21-12-1 to the under, even though this does kind of look like it's going to be a higher scoring game. Kenny Clark out for the Packers at nose tackle. I think that's a huge loss. I just don't know if the Lions can take advantage of it. They should score some points here. It might be a decent game, favored by 6, to tease it down basically to a pick 'em for Green Bay. I've got no play on it. I wanted to play the over, kind of missed that number, and so I'm laying off of it.
Okay.
I came in with a big bet over. I bet it early. I knew this one was, you could tell this one was only going to go one way on the total off last week's action, some of the injury situations. And, you know, I still think it's playable over, even though it moved a lot. And you have to remember, it's not week 13 in the NFL. If a total moves 3 points in week 13, very hard to recommend at that point. Week 2, still a lot of unknown. I think these are just, I mean, certainly Detroit is a dead over team. If you watch them, I mean, it's pretty sad when Trubisky tears you up in the second second half of that game.
Quarter.
As Scott mentioned, the secondary is banged up for Detroit. But to make matters worse, the Lions all day could not get any pressure on Trubisky in that game. If you can't get pressure on Aaron Rodgers here, I would think it's going to be make for a long day. Obviously, it looks like Rodgers is very motivated Moving forward to 2020, Kenny Clark, key defensive player for the Packers, is going to be out. So I still think you can bet this over.
All right. Let's move on to Giants and Bears. And Giants catching 5.5. They actually put together a 19-play drive against the Pittsburgh defense. Get to the goal line, and Daniel Jones gets hit and intercepted. A little bit of bad luck. But I thought there were some positives for the Giants. One was not the running attack. Saquon Barkley, 15 carries for 6 yards. Hey, this Bears defense, Scott, allowed 426 yards to the Lions, and most of that was in the first three quarters before the Lions quit playing in the fourth quarter. So do the Giants, would I be a fool to take the Giants here this week? Plus 5.5. There were sixes on the board early in the week. Those have mostly disappeared. Total 42 or 42.5.
Well, they lost 19-14 here last year, for whatever that's worth. Looking back, the Giants are actually 10-3 against the spread as a road dog since 2018. As bad as this team has been, I guess maybe they're just getting a whole bunch of points and they're staying competitive. That 19-14 loss last year, Matt, is the in that 13-game stretch as a road dog since 2018. They allowed less than 20 points one time. That was against the Bears last week or last year. Otherwise, it's been over 20 points. And looking back to the Bears defense, you know, the Bears defense got better in 2017, and since then as a home favorite, they've allowed less than or equal to 17 points in 11 of their 15 games. So they played pretty good as a home favorite. You know, I guess we'll find out based on your comment there on the 400-plus yards, is Detroit's offense just that good, or is there something wrong with the Bears defense? I mean, they did start to decline in personnel a little bit over the last couple of years. We'll find out. I really wanted to play this game under, but it's such a low total, and these teams can sometimes go a little bit more up-tempo, although if you're really bad, going up-tempo doesn't really matter, I guess. But so the low total, just it's a little hard for me to go under in the NFL with that low of a total. Mm-hmm. But I lean under. I don't want to lay it with Chicago. I'm not sure I want to take it with the Giants either. No opinion.
Steelers-Giants game landed right on this total, by the way, 26-16. 42.5 is the highest number I see on this total. ER?
I believe this is the only game that I do not have a bet on this Boy. Week in the NFL. And quite honestly, I don't have much of an opinion in this game. You look at the Giants, Matt. I agree with you. I thought I was somewhat impressed with that offense. It was better. I thought it was well coordinated. Looked well coordinated. You're still going to have to worry about the turnovers. I mean, Daniel Jones, NFL high 18 fumbles last year. That's just going to be part of it with them. So we'll see. Garrett generally a little bit more conservative, but as a coordinator, maybe he's going to open up. But I thought it was bright. And, you know, with this, Matt, you know, the Giants had to play the Pittsburgh defense week one, the Bears defense week two. I'm not sure we would have week three or week four. So certainly they stand to me to be maybe a bet on team or a bet over team after this week.
Well, the Bears defense should be a step down after facing the Steelers last week. Should feel like to get.
I mean, especially if you watch the Bears defense against Detroit.
All right, we got about 50 seconds left. College football, ER. I've made a couple references to it. Do you have a couple plays this week?
Yeah, certainly don't put words in Eddie Wall's mouth, but I believe these are a couple plays that I played. I believe he's on as well. A couple totals, Matt. I played the NC State Wake Forest game under the total 52.5. Also, I think is a great bet. Tulane Navy under, it's 48 now. Navy, as we know, the one thing they should do this week is tackle. After that debacle by BYU, we know Malcolm Perry, perhaps the best player or more meaningful player to the college football. So low scoring game down in New Orleans this weekend.
All right, Navy. A 6.5 or 7-point dog in that game. Circuit right now has 7. Westgate has 6.5. Navy Tulane total 48 or 48.5. Quick break on My Guys in the Desert. We have Musburger and the Mad Dog on the other side.